Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen. Joining me in the studio right now is Angela Luskin, Health and Fitness Manager from UP Health System Portage. Angela, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Rick. Great to be here.
It's always a good time to talk to you this time of year because you've got the Great Bear Chase coming in. Of course, we're happy to have you a couple of times during the year as you have major events coming up for the community and from UP Health System Portage. But as I said, this is kind of a neat time of year as we'll talk about getting back on good habits. And that myself included, if not first and foremost, as we come out of winter and away from the holidays and get a little bit more of an opportunity to become more active. But before we get into all that, the Great Bear Chase, the big ski race that's coming up, tell us a little bit about it.
Absolutely. So the Great Bear Chase is a longstanding community tradition. It's held up on the Sweet Town Trails in Calumet. It's slated for March 11th, and this is our 37th year already. So like I said, longstanding, it's a great event. It's been growing by very large numbers every single year. Last year, we had just over 650 racers. And what's really great about the Great Bear Chase, around 80% of those people come from out of the area. So it brings a lot of, you know, tourism and helps our restaurants, our hotels in the area, as those 80% are coming from downstate, Wisconsin, Illinois, Minnesota, and really is great for our community.
Well, how many skiers take part?
It's about just around 650 last year. So our hope is to increase that. We'd love to see 700 this year, so we'll see where we end up.
Is registration open now for that?
It is. Registration's been open for about 9 months, and we are looking right around 300 right now, which is typical for where we usually are. A lot of the skiers will wait to see what the weather conditions are before they commit. But people can register right up until March 10th.
Okay, well, speaking of those weather conditions, yes. As we're sitting here recording this during the week, it's raining about 50 outside right now, and temperatures are supposed to drop. So by the time this airs here on Sunday, it's going to be expected to be colder again. So any kind of cause of concern for having two big thaws here in wintertime, which is, certainly in the six winters I've been here, I've not seen anything like it.
Right. I'm sure that is a question on everyone's mind. But right now, we as the Bear Chase Committee are not too concerned with the weather. We have around 2 feet of base on our trails, and granted this thaw is taking some of that, it shouldn't take all of that away. And the extended forecast looks favorable for us. By the end of the week, it's supposed to, get a little bit colder, and then we'll start to see some snowflakes again. Although some people probably aren't very happy with that, but we are.
Yeah, sure. Well, there's a lot of things still to have happen in the wintertime. We're still in February. It's not sane to be thinking about spring this early. Now, if it was past March 1st, I'd applaud a 50-degree Great Bear Chase as long as there still was snow there. I mean, my first year I was part of that when I helped you with the announcing. Right. It was a very, very warm day, but there was plenty of snow. It was like, when you got that first real nice warm day of pre-spring, and it was the Bear Chase.
Right.
And it was a great day. The sun was out. It was a beautiful day. Plenty of snow. It was great. So we just need a little bit of more Hakey Lunta in the area, because not only you have the Bear Chase, but of course the Copper Dog people, they want a little bit more snow, or at least remain cold enough not to lose any more than we have. That 150 inches of snow we got back in like December is now starting to look, well, I'm glad we got that, because without that, we've been riding that wave here for a while.
We have. It's been definitely an interesting winter, so far, and hopefully we can hang on for at least, another few weeks.
Now, I've been watching the trails update online on Facebook, and what I am hearing is that despite the warmer weather, we still have some pretty good trail conditions out there.
We do, absolutely. We have some of the best trails around, and we have, at least at Sweet Town Trails, they just recently received a new groomer. They bought a new groomer, and that has really made a difference. Our groomers do a fantastic job of keeping that base nice and packed, and they're doing a great job with what we have.
Talk about who's able to take part in the race.
Sure, absolutely. So what's really wonderful about this Great Bear Chase is it has a distance for everyone. Whether you're that elite, highly competitive individual, all the way down to, the recreational skier that may get out just a couple times a year. So we have a 50K skiathlon, a 50K freestyle and a 50K classic. Those are our three long distance races. And then it goes down to 25K. You can either freestyle that, or we have a classic option as well. And then we also have a 10K, and that is a freestyle or classic as well. So you have seven different options and good distance for everyone. And yeah, people can register up until March 10th.
Do you do something for the kids as well in this?
Yes, there is a junior bear chase that the Ski Tigers puts on, and that's the night before. So that's on Friday, March 10th, and that takes place at 5:30 p.m. at the Sweet Town Chalet.
What are the motivations that people have to take part in a ski race? I've been cross-country skiing, but I've never wanted to out-ski anybody. Don't think I could, right. But other people are pretty competitive at it.
There are. And, you know, out of those 650 people that did the bear chase last year, I would actually say a small percentage of them are really actually competitive and, you know, want to keep passing all of the skiers. The majority, they come out to the Great Bear Chase just to have a good time. We are known as a laid-back skier event, great community support, really good trails, and one of the most important things that people love about the Great Bear Chase is the Pasty Fest afterwards. So they get a pasty luncheon at the Calumet High School, and big, you know, sweets from Connie's Kitchen and Tony's Kitchen, and really good food.
Well, you definitely work up an appetite for the race. So.
They do. But yeah, it is an event for all, and just a fun time for everyone.
It takes a lot of people to put something like this on, doesn't it?
It does. It takes, well, we have a bear chase committee that is around 10 of us that meet monthly throughout the entire year. And then we also need over 100 volunteers to pull this event off. So right now we are in full recruitment for volunteers. We still have probably around 70 spots left to fill with just a couple weeks left to go. And there are indoor volunteer positions as well as outdoor. They're around 2 to 3 hour time slots. People can head to our website at greatbearchase.com, and you'll see a form there that kind of talks about all of the different positions available, and then you can sign up for times that work with your schedule. But we need everything from aid stations, which is huge. We need, I think, right around 50 people just to staff the aid stations for our racers. There's backup timers. There's people that help us at the finish line, and then people that help us with the luncheon, too, and the wards, and a whole slew of volunteer positions available.
Well, you said that people only need to volunteer 2 to 3 hours, so you're not giving up your whole day. You can still enjoy part of the race. If you're the kind of person you like to see more of the setup or the beginning of the race, you can do that and then enjoy the finish. Or if, you know, you want to see everything get going, see all the racers out of the chute, so to speak, but then, you know, pick up your shift and work until the end of it and help, you know, clean up, then you have that option too.
Absolutely. Yes, the time slots are not, you know, incredibly long. So a lot of people, if they're a morning person, they can be done. Some are done by 10, some are done by noon. And then on the other end of that, we're typically wrapped up by 4 o'clock on that date, March 11th.
And the old saying that many hands make light work, you know, certainly applies. You know, the more volunteers you have, the less it, you know, burden for any individual to have to take upon themselves.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, these volunteers, they really make the Great Bear Chase what it is. We could not pull it off without the help of our community. And every year, you know, everyone rallies and supports behind us, and we're looking for that again this year.
It's a race. So are there awards that are won?
There are. Yeah, so we have chip timing. So everyone wears a chip on their bib, and you get a time. And our awards, I believe there are over 300 age group awards for this event. Right. We have, you know, with seven different races, there's age groups, either 5 or 10 year age groups for every race. We have male and female division as well. And the awards are incredibly unique. Guy Good, many of you may know him, but what an amazing man. He has been with the Bear Chase for many, many years. And for the past at least 6 years, he hand carves these long, they're probably about 2 feet, wooden skis. And those go to the first place winner in every single age group. So he makes over 90 of those skis every year, varnishes them, we get them engraved. They are incredibly sought after. Everyone, even those that will win second and third place, and those people get this really nice Bear Chase medal. But every year they're like, next year I'm coming back and I'm going to win one of those wood skis. So they're a beautiful piece of work, and it's just incredible that Guy you know, spends all of his time in his wood shop making those things come together.
A lot of people have such a great time, and the volunteers are so well appreciated. You said that you need about 100. So we're asking people right now to help, right?
We are, absolutely. This is, you know, go time for us. We really need volunteers to commit to the positions. There's a couple ways, again, that you can volunteer. The easiest way to see what's out there is to go to our website, greatbearchase.com, and we have a volunteer tab that lists all of the different positions and times. If people don't have internet, you're more than welcome to give me a call at 483-1153, and I can help sign you up to volunteer as well. So lots of different ways to volunteer. And it is, like, you know, if you really want to be in the heart of this, usually around 10 a.m. on March 11th is when things are really picking up and there's so much commotion and excitement around that finish line. We have a really nice stadium that one of our committee members, Craig Hughes, has done great work building up over the past years too. So there's this great fencing and this festive atmosphere, and there's skiers everywhere, and there's people that have dogs, and you'll see a bear running around. It really is fun.
NASCAR for skiing. I love your venue where you have it at Sweettown Trails, because, again, I've been out there skiing myself, and you don't have to go very far, and you feel like you're in the middle of nowhere. I mean, on a well-groomed trail, but, you know, there is no sign, no sound of the of 41, US 41. You can't hear the cars going by. You might hear a snowmobile somewhere out there in the, you know, the distance somewhere, but you're out there and it's extremely quiet. It's very serene, and, you know, you could stop and forget you're in a race, take in all that.
Yes.
I enjoy it. I enjoy it for, been snowshoeing out there as well as cross-country skiing. If for no other reason, to just get out there and enjoy Sweettown Trails with a group of people. And
absolutely. You know, we are, I think sometimes we don't realize how fortunate we are to have these amazing ski trails, both Sweettown and Michigan Tech trails, you know, within our community. You know, that isn't very typical. And one of the things with the Great Bear Chase, it is the main fundraiser for the Sweettown Trail System. So holding that bear chase brings in enough funds for Sweettown to keep their trails at the level that they do, and to keep that chalet open, and, you know, have the sledding hill for the kids. So it really is important for our community to continue to support that Great Bear Chase, you know, to keep those Sweettown trails in the pristine condition that they are in.
Before we get into talking about getting lazy people like myself moving again, who, you know, I've been hibernating a little bit this winter, I want you to just break down the schedule a little bit so people understand, okay, you know, these are your deadlines and this is what's going on. Sure. For the race.
Absolutely. So the 37th annual Great Bear Chase is coming up on March 11th. It takes place at the Sweettown Trails in Calumet. People are able to register right up through Friday. And we should mention that Friday is kind of a big day for the Great Bear Chase. It's March 10th. And we'll be at the Calumet High School from 6 to 9 p.m. People can do last minute registration on Friday. If you want to register online, you have until midnight Thursday, March 9th, that would be. But then there's also going to be a pasta dinner for the community and for the racers at the Calumet High School between 6 and 8 p.m. on Friday, March 10th. And it's only $10. The spread of food is enormous.
Carbo loading for the race.
And it is. It's a lasagna, both meat and vegetable lasagna. There are three different salads, and can't remember what was for dessert, but there's a whole slew of food for $10. So come out and support that if you want to be part of that Great Bear Chase on that end as well. And then the race kicks off on Saturday, March 11th. First race starts at 8:30. You can come and spectate, come and volunteer, come and take part in one of the seven different races. There's a lot of ways to get involved at this community event.
All right. Sounds definitely great. So March 11th, and volunteer early. Volunteer often, you know, let's say early and often.
Right. We'd love to see that.
Last year, I embarked on something, you know, that was pretty intense for me, being, you know, past the 40-year mark. And, you know, as my metabolism was slowing down, I said, okay, I need to do something before this gets too far out of hand. I love eating, so I didn't want to go and just be, you know, I've tried diets before where you just simply don't eat very much, and that just didn't work. I couldn't do it. I couldn't be that miserable. So about last spring, we decided to completely change the way we eat. And we went to a diet that was very heavy on fresh fruits and vegetables, still kept, you know, some of the things I enjoyed most. My favorite food in the world is a cheeseburger, mm-hmm. Burger and fries kind of guy. So it wasn't that we were going to completely eliminate burgers. Did take off the cheese, but still, and for a while now, we've been using turkey meat instead of ground beef. So that wasn't even a big change. But it was reducing the portion size on those types of foods down to, if you were doing the plate system, the meat and potato taking up half the plate and then everything else being fresh fruits and vegetables for the most part. And it was working. And that along with some exercising, as you would see me up at the gym.
Yes.
I don't know how much weight I lost because when, October and November rolled around and I was weighed again, it seemed like I hadn't lost very much. But as it was explained to me, I had gained more muscle by exercising. And so there was a little bit of a wash. Now, I think had we canceled Thanksgiving and canceled Christmas, I might have been able to keep on that track and then, starting to see the weight come down. But we did have the holidays. We enjoyed the holidays. And then the snow hit. And when the snow hit, my exercise was every day going home from work and shoveling snow for 2 hours, which, is probably great. What do you call that?
Cardiovascular work. Is that what you were looking for?
Or torture, one of those two. But it meant that I just didn't have the energy to work out on a regular basis. So now the snow's fairly well done. We might get a little bit more, but that big blast of snow is done. Certainly the holidays are well behind. And I'm not the only one that has experienced this, where you pick up a routine during the warmer weather months, the holidays come, the winter comes, and you go into hibernation just like many of the animals around here. What do people need to do in order to get back on track, so to speak, this time of year?
And that's what it takes, just taking that first step again, and getting out there, deciding, what you want to do for that exercise routine. Like you mentioned, the snow is starting to melt. For those that like to be outdoors and like to get the fresh air, a lot of our side roads are bare right now and great places for walking, Eventually, that waterfront trail along the canal will be bare, too. So just trying to find things that fit into your schedule that you enjoy doing, whether it be outside or inside. But, schedule it into your schedule and make that commitment to start moving again. Because, like you mentioned, the weight is one thing, but there's so many other great benefits that come from getting healthier and getting moving. Sometimes we have to look at how our clothes are fitting. You said you weren't sure how many pounds you lost, but, were your pants and your shirts spaggier?
Yes.
Yes. So you have to focus on some of those things too. Your energy level, did you have more energy? Did you feel better? Were you sleeping better? And
yes to all those.
Yeah, right. So I think sometimes we get hung up on just that number on the scale. But if we take that whole picture and we ask ourselves all of those questions, it's a little, we feel better about it. And we see that, I really am making progress and I am seeing results. So, those are great things to focus on. And now that it's starting to get nicer outside, we do need to get out of hibernation and start back on that healthy track if we fell off.
Which you probably haven't.
Oh, no, that's not true. I think all of us go into a little bit of hibernation. It's when there's, it's dark outside right away when we get home and it's dark when we leave. It just makes it harder to get moving. So now that we can start seeing some light and start seeing spring, it'll be easier for us to get moving.
How important is that after dinner walk?
First of all, when you have that to look forward to, it might even contribute to how we how and what we're eating for that dinner time as well. But when you set yourself up to go for that walk afterwards, that means we're not sitting in front of a TV, which to a lot of us, that's one of our mechanisms of eating more. After dinner, we'll pull out some snacks. But this way, if we're moving, we're not eating, right? And then it gives us a little bit more energy, and it just, I guess, helps us get going and getting in that calorie expenditure.
Yeah, I was wondering, does it help with digesting the food and sort of keeping, I don't know, just getting everything kind of moving? Or, you know, most people go to bed a few hours after they eat, and it's kind of good to maybe get that in.
It is. And, you know, but I would also say if the evening isn't a time that works for you to get moving and you can fit it in the afternoon or morning, do what works for your schedule. Everybody's different. Some people need to be able to get their exercise in before 8 o'clock in the morning. Otherwise, it doesn't happen because when they get home, they're exhausted, kind of like you said, with the snow removal, or, you know, the house takes on more. They're in the house and they find they have things to do. So when it works for you is what is the most important, and to do activities that you enjoy doing. And a lot of us, walking is it. You know, it's fairly low impact. It's not too hard on our knees and our back, and pretty much everyone can do it.
When you're trying to fill a exercise routine, how long per day should you exercise? Because when I was checking into this, and I thought it'd be smart, I thought I'd go to an exercise website and get some information. And the first thing I saw, they were talking about doing 90 minutes a day. And I thought, who on earth has time to do 90 minutes a day of strenuous workout?
And that's overwhelming. You know, you're getting into this and then you read, I got to do 90 minutes, and then you feel defeated. And it's like, how am I going to fit 90 minutes in? What I would say is start with 30. Okay, the recommendation is to get at least 60 minutes of activity a day. But does that mean you need to go to the gym for 60 minutes? No. You know, that could be a 15-minute walk before you leave work. And then, well, maybe not for you because you're morning hours. But for some of us, we could squeeze a little bit of time in the morning, maybe some along lunchtime, and then some at night as well. Some of that 60 minutes can be, you know, we've heard this one a million times, park further away from the grocery store, take the stairs instead of the elevator. All of that time can factor into that 60 minutes. What you were reading with the 90 minutes, that is if weight loss is their main goal, the recommendation is 90 minutes. But again, that does not mean you need to carve out 90 minutes of one block of time and, you know, go on the treadmill or the elliptical for 90 minutes. You can break that up throughout your day and then just take all of these, you know, steps to be a little bit healthier overall.
If you are working out at the gym, and you set yourself, you're going to work out for, say, 30 minutes. Do you want to break up the machines that you use, or, you know, do you want to run for 25 minutes on a treadmill and then breathe heavily for 5 minutes?
So what I would say to that, first you want to do something that you enjoy. Again, I'm going to go back to that, because for me to stay on a treadmill for 30 minutes would be misery. It is not something I enjoy. And then I'm going to be more likely to stop that activity. So A, find something you like. If it's the treadmill, if it's going for a walk, if it's elliptical, if it's a bike, if it's a rower, pick something that you know you're going to enjoy doing. And as far as intensity, it is good for us to get our heart rate up. But does that mean it has to be the whole 30 minutes? No. What we find is really good for cardiovascular health, and that can help jumpstart our weight loss, is something called intervals. So that would be, maybe I walk on the treadmill for 1 minute, and then I start with maybe 15 to 30 seconds of picking up that pace, whether that be a jog or just a really fast walk. And then I go back down to a minute of my normal pace, and then 30 seconds at that higher pace. That gets our heart rate up into that higher intensity zone, and then it keeps it there as I back down a little bit, and then you're going to be burning more calories and working that cardiovascular, your heart system, more effectively.
And the value of talking to a trainer, because, you know, I get on the treadmill and, of course, I'm going to win the Ironman marathon and I'm going to run for 30 minutes and, you know. So.
Right. And there's all, you know, there's just so much out there, but I would try not to overwhelm ourselves with all of that that's out there. I would say just take that first step, put some activity time, carve it out into your schedule, and take that first step. Start there, and then we can keep building from where we started. Make it a routine. I think that's the big important thing too that we haven't touched on yet. But putting it into your schedule, making it consistent, you know, let's start you off right now, but then let's figure out, you know, the holidays were a difficult time for you where it came to your, you know, exercise and the way you were eating. So we've got a few months now. We can start figuring out what were some of those challenges and then try to figure out ways that to overcome those so that doesn't happen again. Right?
Yep. Don't want to keep starting over
you
every
don't.
Spring.
You don't. But you on the positive going? Side, you know you can do it, and you had such great success last year that you know it's achievable.
Yeah. The Great Bear Chase is on March 11th. Registration is open now for if you want to participate in the race. Also, if you want to volunteer, Angela, one more time, if you can give people the contact information to be able to do either one of those.
Sure, absolutely. If you want more information on the Bear Chase, if you want to register, if you want to volunteer, a great place to visit is www.greatbearchase.com, or feel free to give me a call at 483-1153, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
As always, it was a pleasure.
You too, Rick. Thanks for having me.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.